Hey guys, Chad here. Welcome to another edition of the Chad Shipley Show, where I bring you interesting, insightful, and entertaining content or people. And wow, today's show was so much fun. My friend Michelle Lutz, she came onto the show to talk about life transformation and her being a life transformation coach and all the amazing things that she can do for people, that she is doing for people. But we got into some really amazing and awesome topics, especially right off the bat. This was such a fun discussion. I love when people come in and we sit down and just have a really fun and awesome convo. This was really cool. I hope that you guys enjoy this as much as I enjoyed this wide-ranging, very insightful, very fun conversation with my good friend, Michelle Lutz. We're live. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yes.
Good morning.
I'm so excited. So I polled the members. They gave us some topics to talk through, which are good. We'll get to those. But before we get there, you said this is anything goes, right? No rules?
No rules.
All right, cool. Then, in that case, I have to start with, do you know where I'm going to start?
No, I don't.
The ayahuasca. Wait, how do you say it?
Ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca.
Oh, yeah, boy.
I shouldn't know.
I wasn't
that.
Expecting
yeah.
that this
yes.
morning.
Yeah, we got to start there. So, here's why I want to start there. I am deeply fascinated with these topics because I do think that there's a lot of power in the unconscious where we're able to strip ourselves of our own ego. And there's actually a book I was reading. It's Seeking Wisdom from Darwin to Munger. And it talks about how, like, because of our environment and everything we're exposed to, our brains are sort of wired for certain, like, neurons to connect, right? And if you can figure out ways to have other neurons in your brain start connecting, you just open yourself up to a whole nother world of experiences. So I want to talk about that trip, if you're okay with that. Now you're like, I wish there was rules.
No, it's an amazing topic. And what an experience that I had. So definitely, I'd love to
discuss
that. Yeah.
So how does this all unfold? So you get an invite from who to go where, when, like, give me the full details, like just from the time you figured it out, found out about it to the whole event.
So I am a Jack Canfield certified coach. And he's the gentleman who wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul books, and he's America's number one success coach. So being that I'm one of his trainers, he sent me an email back in the summer asking to go to a place called Rhythmia.
So this is a personal email? Like, he's actually sending you an email?
Yeah.
Or his team? Okay, sending you
yeah.
an email.
Yeah. Yeah, because he actually created a separate email address just for us to all communicate with him.
Okay.
And so it's a life advancement center. We do yoga, meditation, breath work, plant-based diet, colonics. If you're not familiar with colonics, it's another interesting thing. They do some stem cell therapy, some different things, but their main thing is plant medicine or ayahuasca. So we do four different ceremonies when we're there, so four separate evenings, and it takes you on quite a journey.
So wait, where was this at? I'm sorry, I missed
Costa
that.
Rica.
Okay, so you get an invite to go to Costa Rica for mm-hmm. a week.
Mm-hmm.
What does it say? Like, we're going to have some kind of life experience, and you're going to do some... Are these considered psychedelics?
Mm-hmm, yes.
So we're going to do some psychedelic drugs. Like, is that, I'm just so curious as to how this is, like, sent out to people. Like, what is the approach that he took? Is it
definitely not that?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And Jack's, you know, in his late 70s at this point, so
yeah.
you know, and I trust him. I, you know, I've been training with
sure.
him for a couple years now, so he's like my grandpa or my dad, you know.
Yeah.
So a lot of faith in things that he's done that's worked. So basically, that's what the email said was, you know, hey, I visited here before. I was supposed to go back last year, obviously couldn't.
Yep.
So I'm going again this year. It's one of the most life-changing experiences I've had. And I thought, wow, if something's moving him, it's definitely going to shift me.
Yeah.
So it did not get into depth about ayahuasca.
Okay.
So I had gone on their different, their website, and obviously searched myself, They personally have a lot of their own YouTube videos. They call them miracles, that, you know, when you go, you actually get a miracle.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of my own research, and I just had a strong calling to go do this. So within 2-3 weeks, I was signed up and ready to go.
Yeah. So just a quick interjection. So before people think like this is going somewhere really crazy, there are a lot of people that have done these type of experiences or experimentation for the purpose of self-discovery, self-progression, to advance, to grow, right? So I think there's probably a common idea that anytime you're experimenting with any kind of psychedelics, it's just for the having fun, doing drugs, hanging out with your friends, and that's not what this is about at all, right?
No.
This is about finding ways to tap into the unconscious, pulling out the bad things, the bad roots that have kind of been planting inside us, and helping us to progress. And I follow a lot of people that are really adamant about this kind of stuff. If you actually do research on a lot of the most successful and brilliant leaders of our time, they've all been to like Burning Man. Google, actually, the two Google founders took their potential CEO, Eric Schmidt, they took him to Burning Man. I think this is correct. Yes, it was Eric. Just to see what his interactions were like, right? So a lot of these people are very familiar with these type of psychedelics and these experiences. I have never done it, but when you told me you were doing it, I was so intrigued and excited. So there's yoga, there's plant-based diets, you're doing these things. What is the actual ayahuasca experience like? Is it one night? Is it two nights? Is it for 1 hour? Is it for 10 hours?
Oh, boy. So this is all the stuff that they don't tell you when I was researching.
Are you allowed to even talk about it, or is it like a secret trip?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I try not to bring other people's names and their stories up, but you definitely get a close connection with all these people that you have your ceremony with.
Yeah.
We were in, it, I believe it's called a Maluka, is how you pronounce it. So it's just a big building where they do all of their yoga, meditation, and where we do plant medicine. So,
okay.
And the plant medicine, the ayahuasca, is actually a vine and a root. They come from different places, Peru, Colombia. One of them is actually brewed right there at Rhythmia. But they brew it down to like a tea, and you do basically a shot glass of it. You can do more than one serving throughout the night. I did not. but we started the ceremony about 5:30. They have a little orientation of what to expect. We talk a little bit. And then probably about 7:30 p.m. we drink it. We do it at night. And we get back to our rooms at 2-3 in the morning. It's quite...
So is there... What's the elevator pitch? Is it that this is a life transformation type experience, or is it, hey, we want to go deep and try to pull out some of the bad weeds? Is it, we just want you to like kind of open up your brain a little bit and have like an out of body experience, or is it all of those things?
It can be all of those things.
Yeah.
The main, Jerry Powell that owns Rhythmia has a very interesting story. But his belief and a lot of the shaman's beliefs are you become separated from your soul.
Okay.
Starting from in the womb all the way up till you're, some people say 5, some people say 6, 7, 8 years old. Something happens in your life where you become separated. It could be your parents divorcing. It could be you got bit by a dog. You got picked on in school. I mean, it could be simple things. But a lot of these things are stored in your subconscious mind. And it just, you know, so basically they're trying to merge you back with your true self is what they're trying to do.
So this probably sounds a little crazy to some people, right?
But
I was telling you a little bit about this breathing technique that I started doing, where the night before my last, well, I say my last, like it was, there was many, but there was my one and only half Ironman in North Carolina. I did this breathing exercise where I was laying in bed, and throughout the breathing exercise, I actually, like, I envisioned myself leaving myself and then staring back at myself. And it was like this person that, it was kind of a better future of myself. And I, it, like, that person was looking at me. It was me looking at me. And they just gave me a hug and said, like, everything's going to be okay. You know, you'll be all right. And it wasn't even about the race. I think it was a lot more to do with the business or just my life in general on the personal side. And I hadn't even been really thinking about those kind of things. It was like something was like inside me and in sort of my unconscious that was mm-hmm. that was probably bothering me a lot. And it wasn't showing up everywhere, but it was showing up in some places. And to have myself, like, that was the first thing I thought of, like, this is the future version of myself, the better version, the person that knows what the future holds. And they're like holding, you know, they're mm-hmm. hugging me, telling me everything's going to be okay. And, you know, you're good enough, and kind of these affirmations from a third party, but it was myself. And I'm not saying that that's what these experiences are like, but I started, you know, I've been reading a lot on the soul and connecting with the soul. So I can definitely believe that there's so much power in these type of experiences. Yeah. But you said shaman. Is it shaman? I'm so bad with the terminology of these things.
I am too. Yeah. I actually have to think about it.
Whatever.
I always say shaman or shaman.
So there's a shaman. What is a shaman's role?
Well, they are responsible for serving you the plant medicine. They do, you know, help to clear out any negative energy. They will actually have smoke. They'll come over. They control the music. Sometimes it's live music. Sometimes they shut, you know, they shut everything down, and you can actually hear the howler monkeys in the back and just nature. And it's,
what are howler monkeys? Oh, those are actual
type
animals.
Of monkey.
Okay,
in yeah. Costa Rica, we don't have them here. Yeah. But yeah, so it's, you know, all of the, what the medicine's meant to do is whatever's coming to you is leaving. So whatever's meant to come up, you can ask for what you want. You know, you right. may want to know, like, what am I supposed to do with my career or my relationship or whatever. But
yeah.
Unfortunately, whatever we call our mother ayahuasca, whatever she wants us to learn and get rid of is what's coming, and you're not stopping it.
Yeah. So you personally, you did one cup of the
tea? I just did
tea.
One cup every evening, yes.
Okay, so it is an experience you do every night that you're there.
Four nights, so you're there for weeks. You actually do okay. four ceremonies.
So yes. What does the whole day look like? Is it like you wake up and you do some yoga and you eat some breakfast and you have some team meetings, and then it's like, hey, it's 7:30, we're gonna drink the tea?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're up early. It's beautiful there in Costa Rica. It's all plant-based food.
Yeah,
lots of juicing. You know, which is great. They
is
do.
Is that a part of it, like a cleanse from like a nutrition perspective? It's is
nutrition,
that a goal, or is that just the way that they eat there?
It's pretty much the way they eat there. Yeah. They believe that, you know, keeping fried foods, all of that stuff, that your experience is going to be better just because you're cleansing
okay,
everything.
Yeah. Right.
That's also, if you want to read about colonics, it's basically like a enema on steroids. It's an actual machine that they have, but they believe that a lot of those negative emotions are stored in your gut.
Okay.
So they, you know, they yeah. cleanse that. But the yoga is wonderful. The meditation, I had a very similar experience as you did with your breath work
yeah.
that you were doing. You know, going back, looking at my younger self. So this is all part of it, that the yoga, the meditation, the breath work, you can get the same effects as a plant medicine. It just
right.
takes a lot longer.
It takes a lot longer, yeah.
The breath work was, that was powerful.
How long was it, like the meditation? Was the meditation and the breath work together, or was it, they were kind of separate things? Because I know sometimes the meditation can be like the mantra based, or the concentrating on the deep breathing. Was that all like a part of the meditation experience, where you were focusing on the breath?
Yeah, they do a little bit of meditation, but yeah, then the breath work is actually, geez, I think we were total probably in there about an hour. All the
oh,
classes
wow.
were about an hour.
Yeah.
So by the time they explain it, you
yeah.
sit down and, you know,
and
meditate for
yeah.
a little bit, get relaxed,
that
and then
awesome.
You actually do the breath work. It's a little bit of work to do that breath
oh,
work,
yeah.
but I'll tell
yeah.
you what, so it increases your DMT levels is what it does. So, and that's exactly what the plant medicine does. So,
yeah, it's just on the breath work itself. So I just listened to a podcast about how it's called the Superhuman Protocol, and not to get too off topic here, but the idea is I think it's Earth, Wind, and Fire is their way of like their tagline, just to make it easy to remember. But there's a thing called grounding, where basically our Earth has a magnetic field, and so to recharge your body, you really want to be connected with the Earth. So, and this isn't some like pie in the sky stuff. This is like, I think there was 16 peer-reviewed studies done to show the power and the impact of grounding. And it's even if you're traveling, you can reset. You know how you kind of get thrown off if you're going through different time zones? You reset through a grounding experience where basically all you have to do is spend 30 minutes with your feet touching the ground, the earth. And that kind of like rejuvenates the cells. So the idea is that over time, your cells start to stick together. And then once they start to stick together, that becomes a traffic jam. So the blood stops flowing, right? Now you got high blood pressure and the blood's not carrying the oxygen to all the parts of the body. So step one is the grounding. It breaks those cells up and recharges them, just like putting a phone on a charger, right? 30 minutes a day, they actually make PEMF mats that do the same thing. If you like live in the cold like us and you can't go put your feet in the sand, sand's the best apparently. But then the next part is the breathing. So you do these deep breathing exercises to make sure that you're actually getting oxygen to the vital organs, right? The blood's carrying the oxygen throughout your body. And then the third part is the infrared lights and how important that is for our body. But when I was listening to this, it just made me so much more aware of how important oxygen is to your entire body, right? And the ability to get the oxygen into your body, and how important, you know, you always hear that breathing exercises are good and Wim Hof has all these breathing exercises that are phenomenal. But my dad has been, you know, really struggling a lot with breathing lately. And I've been kind of getting a little bit more into this to try to figure out, are there things you can be doing? But the breath work is really powerful.
It
like
is.
To be able to have an outer body experience, just doing some simple meditation, I think is pretty profound. But you do that, then you get into 7:30, you guys come in. What's the first night like? Like, what are you? Are you scared? Are you excited? Are you just really nervous? Are you thinking about the things that might need to be unlocked? Just walk me through.
Yeah, I mean, you're very nervous. Anytime you do something for the first time, what I kept saying was when I went skydiving for the first time, how nervous I was. And, you know, kind of just relating to that, like, you know, and if I can do that, I can do this too,
right.
You know. But, you know, basically, like I said, they speak to you, tell you a little bit of, you know, what to expect, what to do, what to ask for.
Yeah.
So the first thing is show me who I've become. So basically, you know, who am I right now? So we all stand in line. We take a shot glass and we drink it. And we go back and we lay on our mattress, twin mattress on the floor.
Yeah.
With our blanket, our pillow, roll of toilet paper and a little bucket. So basically, and they, you know, tell you just try to breathe, try to relax, you know, as much as what you can. But if, you know, the basic thing is you're going to purge. And purging is laughing, crying, throwing up, going to the bathroom, I mean, sweating, and anything to get rid of these emotions that are buried in you. So it takes about 45 minutes for the plant medicine to kick in. And then once it does, you know, everybody has different things. Some people hear a voice. Some people see colors, see psychedelic things. Some people sleep. It's called a nada. So they sleep through it, which is, if you can do that, it's wonderful, but it's very rare that that happens. So you, like I said, what comes to you is going to come out. But when you release that and make room for new stuff, wow, it's powerful. It really, it just, it's such a peaceful feeling.
Yeah. So what was your, was yours bliss? Was it like major anxiety, or was it, there were some dark things that needed to come out and they were coming out?
Oh, there was definitely some dark stuff.
Yeah.
Some people do have blissful experiences where they're floating around in the universe and you're like, is this really happening or is it not? You know, because it's, when you talk about the psychedelics, you feel a little bit off, but it's not even like you feel like you're drunk or something. It's not even to that extreme, you know? It's more like you're inside your own head, like it's your higher self. You know, it's kind of a crazy thing because you don't know what to expect the first time. My first night, it was show me who I've become. And I had just had a massage done, and I was starting to get an incredible headache prior to the plant medicine. But what happens is, because we're all energy and we've, you know, dedicated ourselves to doing this and made an intention, the plant medicine starts working on you already, even though you haven't drank it, which is also crazy to me. But I started to have a headache, and I laid down after drinking the plant medicine, and I thought, like, why is my head hurting like this? This is crazy. I just had a massage, you know?
Right.
And then I started to get a terrible pain in my jaw, which I've had TMJ and migraines pretty much my whole life, as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
And the pain was getting pretty intense. And as I laid there, I just start, you know, just thinking, like, why is this happening? What's going on? Why? Well, I started, after about an hour, I started to get sick to my stomach. So when I threw up, purging, I laid back down. And, you know, Jerry, the owner of Rhythmia, said, ask what that is in the bucket. What is it? Because it's not, you're not throwing up food, as crazy as it sounds. You're throwing up buried emotion.
Right.
And so when I laid down, I had a woman's presence, which is probably either my higher self or Mother Ayahuasca, saying to me, it's okay. That was your fear and anxiety. There's nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah.
You know? And immediately when I purged, that headache and my TMJ pain went away.
Wow.
And I haven't had it since.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this has been, how long has this been since you did this trip?
October.
Okay. So
2 months.
Is the... Because I can see going through an experience like this, even simple things like going to a float session, you can kind of have a different type of experience that makes you feel really good, but it's never really long-lasting. You kind of like, you know, an hour later, it's back to the normal life and back to normal society. So you're back now, you're back from Costa Rica, you're away from like the waking up and eating plant-based diets and and doing the meditation in a group and then the experience. So did it have an impact on you that is still lasting? That whatever happened in that experience is something that did change your life in a way that, like, going forward, you're a slightly different person, or maybe you're a very different person.
Absolutely. I can tell. I've had other people say to me, like, wow, you're different. Just, you know, not that you weren't confident before, but you seem so much more confident and just like ready to launch almost.
Right.
And that's exactly, I have like clarity, and I really have connection to my intuition and spirit, which is something I've never had before.
Yeah.
But you have to continue these things when you come back.
Yeah.
You know, you have to, whatever it is for you, meditation, breath work, journal, you know, whatever it is.
You got to continue the practice.
You have to continue it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's.
And I think there's a lot to be said about these small habits, like building good habits and bad habits was one of the topics that our members seem to really want to dig into a little bit, right? So we'll get into that. I think that there's a lot of profound power in these small things that you can do every day. Reading some of the great minds that are out there, right? Just doing some simple reading will start to, it'll start to sort of waken you up a little bit to yourself. I noticed that with myself. Even listening to people have insightful conversations, this has kind of been my mantra over the years, right? Spending time in thought and meditation, trying to spend time in gratitude, right? Tony Robbins always says that if you want to turn your life around, turn your expectations into appreciation.
Yeah.
Right. So get away from the things that you think should be happening or that you think you should deserve and be grateful for the things that you have. So these small practices, even, you know, like on the religious side, a lot of people pray and they spend time with their God, which is great. And I think that that's a powerful experience. But if you were just to do some of those simple practices by yourself, you know, thinking, spending some time and trying to get away from your thought and get away from your ego and thinking about the humility, you'll start to really change your life in a profound way. I think these journeys that you go on, like these experiences to Costa Rica, they kind of just amplify that a lot, right?
Exactly.
They give you like this super dose of things that you can do that and show you how powerful that these small things can be.
Yeah.
And then you come back and you implement them into your life. And now you're living a completely different life than you were, you know, going into it.
One of the profound things that I found during this ayahuasca is, and it's kind of funny, but you have all the answers in yourself already.
Right.
You know, and you know this, but you don't, you ignore yourself.
Yep.
You know, you ignore those thoughts that are coming in for whatever reason, whether you have limiting beliefs, you don't have self-love and confidence, you know, maybe what your parents have been telling you, your friends, you know, you listen to all that crap in the back of your head. And you know, when I left, I was like, damn, I knew a lot of this stuff. I had to put myself through this, you know.
Right.
And so I think even meditation, if you really sit, and I could never shut my mind off. That was one of my biggest issues.
Right.
But now I'm learning, it's not a job. Take 5 minutes and do a silent meditation.
Yep.
You know, and you know, you can hear the different thoughts that are coming to you. And play it out. And if you have a negative thought, cancel that thought out and move on to the next thing, because we're always going to have negative thoughts coming to us.
Yeah. Even I have found that there's a book that I love. It's called Shantaram. I don't really like listening to books. I like reading them, and I like having them in front of me and taking my notes. But Shantaram's a book that I bought, and it's a cast of characters, so the guy reading becomes the voice of all of the characters, so it's constantly changing. It's a super entertaining book, but the guy that wrote it, David Gregory Roberts, I can never remember which name's the first name and the middle name, but he's just a phenomenal writer. The way that he writes is so beautiful, and the book is such a great book on humanity, but I have found that at night, instead of putting on the TV, you know, sometimes I'll do the deep breathing, or sometimes I'll just, you know, kind of try to go somewhere blank, right, and get all the thoughts and ideas out of my head, but that's hard sometimes, so I'll just put on this book, and there's certain excerpts and there's certain chapters that I like, and I know I'll set the timer to just turn off in 5 minutes because I'll be asleep,
yeah,
but just listening to the story, and that might not be the story for everyone, but I always encourage people, like, try to find a book that you really like, and then just listen to that a little bit before you go to bed, and I don't do that as a, like, every night I try to listen to the next section and get through the book. Right. I just find certain parts that I like a lot, and helps me kind of turn off my mind a little bit. But you said something that I want to come back to, because I think it's really important, you know, that we have the answers inside ourselves, right? And I know even some of the work that I've done with people, typically all I'm really doing is asking them questions they already know the answer to, or making them think about it, and then giving them some habits. But I like that you said that, you know, sometimes the people close to us are the ones that are telling us we can't, we shouldn't, you know, we won't. And I think sometimes that's out of love. They're trying to protect us. Like, we need a certain job and we need a certain path. But it's funny, as kids, you know, people tell us we can be anything, right? And then as we kind of get older, that starts to become not true. And the same people that told us we could have been anything are now the people that are saying, no, don't do this,
don't do that.
And they sort of, and I don't think they even purposely mean to, but they kind of become these anchors that pull us down. And I think that the things you're talking about are our way of sort of unlocking those and trying to listen to ourselves and go inside for our own answers. So the topic of good habits, bad habits, you know, you're a life transformation coach. We put it out to the members. Hey, I'm having the podcast with Michelle. What are you guys interested in? But before we even jump into those tools, like, tell me your journey. Why become a life transformation coach? Like, what was your career up until that point? What is your career now? What led you into that realm of the world and finding Jack Canfield and his program? And
oh boy, quite a story. But so I've been a hairdresser, salon owner for 30 years.
Yeah. You owned your own salon.
Yeah. Still do it 2 days a week because my clients won't let me stop.
Do you still own your own? So you own your own business entity, and you're doing certain clients that have hung on to you. Okay.
Yeah. I do real estate also. But I've always had this feeling in my soul that there was something that I was called to do.
Yeah.
So I've been an entrepreneur, several different businesses my whole life. But I just, you know, I just always knew I was very frustrated. And I think with that frustration, you know, you have that because you know there's something better out there.
Yeah.
Or you just become satisfied or fulfilled, you know.
I've had that my whole life.
Yeah. And it's, wow, is it a wonderful thing when you finally found, you know, your passion and purpose.
Yeah.
But I was personally struggling with some issues. I'd been in an abusive relationship, emotionally, physically. Just been, you know, moved 28 times. No, lied to you, 34 times in 28 years. So, you know, had a lot of transition in my life, just kind of always felt like I was surviving, basically, you know.
Yeah.
But I had, speaking of, you know, changing habits, I had just pretty much numbing myself with alcohol at times.
Yeah.
You know, not on an everyday basis, but I, you know, trying to numb those feelings, those hidden emotions, you know. Sometimes I didn't even know why. I just had this, like, pissed off feeling inside of me, you know. So, and again, I was just really frustrated. So, but, you know, long story short, I joined 1 year no beer. It's a 90-day drinking challenge.
Oh, nice.
That you do.
So I've never heard of that, actually.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool thing. I found that a lot of people struggle with alcohol, you know? And so you go on, watch a little video, like 3-minute video, you journal about it. Obviously, you have to try to practice, you know, whatever they're telling you to do. But so I had done that because I knew there was something I needed to change. What I was doing was not working. And I needed to be truthful with myself. Because if you're not, you're not going to get anywhere, and you're not going to be truthful with anyone else. Your relationships are going to suffer too.
Right.
So once I did that, got through that, you know, I started to exercise again. I started to eat better again and sleep better. And, you know, my whole life started to shift.
Yeah.
So I needed a day to myself and was actually walking around Barnes & Noble because, like you, I like to read. And I had seen the book, The Secret, which I've, you know, watched the movie. I loved it. And I thought, gosh, I don't need another book.
Yeah.
You know, but I had opened it up. And one of the very first quotes I saw was from Jack Canfield. And I thought, gosh, you know, talk about things happening for a reason here. You know, this is crazy. But I thought, wow, I've always really loved Jack Canfield, you know. Yeah. And I thought, I don't need another book. So as I'm walking through, I go to the personal growth section, which I've always loved. And I look up and I see the Success Principles. It's a 500-page book. So, of course, it's written by Jack Canfield.
Right.
So I start to leaf through it. And I thought, oh, screw it. I'm just going to buy this book. So I go home, start to read this book, and the very first chapter is take 100% responsibility for your life, for yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look at it, you are where you are because of the decisions that you have made,
right.
Period.
Yeah.
You know, but there was a pamphlet in the back of the book that was a 10-day transformation. And I thought, well, hell, if I can do, you know, the 90-day, I can do this 10-day.
Right.
So again, it's videos from Jack, it's emails, you do exercises, worksheets. Very simple things, you know, clean up your messes and incompletes. It's, you know, going through, maybe you need to apologize to someone, maybe you need to pay a bill that you haven't paid or clean your closet out, or, you know, it's silly, simple things that make a profound difference.
Yeah.
So I ended up doing the 10-day transformation and fell in love with this work. And I signed up to be a trainer. So I trained with him. I signed up for it 1 week prior to COVID. And was not able to work any of my jobs during COVID, but what a blessing that I got to do something positive with that time.
Yeah.
So I got certified, still keep in touch with all my people that we virtually, you know, on Zoom trained with, and it's just been a great experience for me.
How long is the program?
It's a year.
Okay.
It's a year, yeah.
So the whole training program is a year-long training program.
It's an online. Self-paced, and then it's called Train the Trainer Live, and then I have 2 weeks with Jack Canfield in California, two individual weeks, but because of COVID, we ended up having to do it on Zoom, so we were the first group to do it, you know, virtually, but again, you know, talking about, at first, I was like, gosh, I paid all this money to do this, and I don't get to spend my time, like, the live session is what, where it's really at, you know, and then you get to connect with your peers, and but it ended up being a blessing because I found that I want to work from anywhere in the world. Now that I've learned all this technology and how to do this, you know, I'm able to do both. I'm able to do live events and do them virtually for people.
That's awesome. So as part of the program, you're learning how to become the person that helps other people, but you're also experiencing the life transformation yourself, right? So what are some of the, I'm just interested to know some of the tools or frameworks that you might have used personally or things that you did. It could be good habits, bad habits, you know, getting rid of bad habits, whatever it would be. What are some of the things that have had the most profound impact on you personally? Like as you were doing that 10-day pamphlet and working through Jack's program, where did you see the biggest shifts in your own life? And that's probably a hard question because I know I do so many things that it's hard to pinpoint the thing that might be the most powerful or the most profound, but I'm just curious.
There are a lot of things. There's actually 67 success principles that he teaches us. So there's
is there a
lot.
Reason there's 67?
I don't know. He keeps adding things as he comes up with things that he finds works. He doesn't have anything about ayahuasca
That's
yet.
Good, though. That's cool.
But, you know, the messes and incompletes, cleaning those up was a big thing for me because, again, just like your hidden emotions that are buried, once you get rid of those or you get rid of things that, you know, have been on your brain forever, you make room for new things, more positive things.
Yeah.
Taking the 100% responsibility, stopping the blame game, you know, quit blaming everybody else for where you are right now.
Right.
The goal setting, affirmations. You know, I end up taking a 3x5 card that I will figure out where I want to be maybe in a year and you know, what I want to be doing. And I do my affirmations on there. And I actually tape it inside my bathroom mirror So when I brush my teeth in the morning and at night, it's there. And I get to, you know, remind myself and say those affirmations. And I've learned writing things down. I know you're a big note person also, but writing things down, it just makes it real. You speak about it, it makes it real. It's like, you know, and you end up, these things come true.
Yeah.
So it's like now I'm to the point where if I don't want this, I better not write it down because it's coming.
Yeah.
You know, it's a powerful thing.
It is powerful. There's a, well, the book, The Alchemist, there's a quote in there that says, when you want something bad enough, the whole world conspires to help you because of that, right? Like when you really put your mind to something and you put it on paper and you do the affirmations, that everything starts to manifest itself to become that. And the book, there's the book, The Magic of Thinking Big, that was written years ago. It's one of the classics that talks so much about the profound impact of the way that you think day in and day out, the people you surround yourself with. What's why, you know, sometimes the people that are closest to us, while we love them, we don't have to, we need to figure out how to separate ourselves from them sometimes because their way of thinking. It's just, if we're not able to positively impact them, and it's the other way around where it's just draining for us to be around them, we need to figure out, we don't need to remove them from our lives completely, but we need to find another circle of people, another group of people that are like-minded, that think big, that, because those are the people that you're going to fly with, right?
Absolutely.
Even some of the conversations I had with you, and I was talking to a couple other people recently, and I thought, geez, I would just love to have a mastermind group of people that are, I love working with people that need help.
Yeah.
But the power in having people that think the way that I think and do the same things I do and are always trying to figure out how to learn, grow, and expand. Like, we're sitting at base camp looking at the mountain saying, like, let's go climb the mountain together.
Right.
Versus trying to convince other people that we should climb the mountain. You know, like, there's two totally different, like, areas of life. And while I enjoy trying to get people to take steps up the mountain, man, sometimes it's cool just to have your people where you're like, let's go tackle some things, you know, because it starts when you're around people like that, that manifestation, all of it starts to become real, you know. And I think that the affirmations, I was just listening to Howard, one of the Howards, on a podcast. He was on the Ed Milet show, the guy that created he wasn't the one that created Starbucks. He was one of the guys that the Howard that created Starbucks brought him in, or the CEO of Starbucks, Howard, brought him in. And he was one of the two Howards that really transformed Starbucks into becoming what it is today. And it was just such a profound, like, his insights and wisdom and the way that he thinks. But during the podcast, he actually said, like, I've been doing affirmations for 40 years, and I put them on a piece of paper, I put them on a mirror, and I forget what they were, but it was something to the tune of, you're good enough. You know, like, he tells himself every day, you're good enough. You're doing good enough, you know. And there was a couple other things, but just to hear someone with that level of success that still every day is waking up telling themselves these things. And him and his wife, they do goal setting. I think he said he's 70 now, but they do goal setting, and they do it individually, but they do goal setting together as a married couple, and they create like a 5-year plan. He's 70. He's like, we're running out of years, but we're still creating our 5-year plan. And then they're executing to it. So I think that those things are, you know, really powerful to be doing, you know, day in and day out. It's good to see that they've had, I'm interested, all of the other things that you started doing, like the eating healthier, I know you're exercising, just that change of life, right? Like, out of the bar scene and focused on the good.
Yeah.
Those are all things that have still stuck, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I actually just got certified in Reiki, getting ready to do Kundalini yoga, which is very powerful.
What is Reiki? Let's take a step back.
Reiki is energy work.
Okay.
And you know, a lot, I've been working with energy
work. Is this through
work.
Jack Canfield?
No. This
different
is
program.
Actually from another Jack Canfield person that teaches Reiki.
In the community of...
Yeah. So it's energy work. We have six chakras in our body, one above. There's actually a ton of chakras, but they're energy sources in your body. Sometimes they become stagnant, clogged. So when you release that energy, because that's all we are, is energy. It's very interesting work. So, you know, you go in, the different chakras have different meanings. You know, obviously, like, your heart chakra is your love, your compassion, your self-love, you know, for yourself. And so sometimes if that becomes blocked, you know, your life becomes blocked. So you actually need to go in and clear those out. So I did take that, going to be taking the Kundalini yoga. So I'm just keep, you know, having structure and stature and just keep going and learning. And I think that's so important for people.
That's really cool. So one of the things we talked about the other day that I thought was pretty insightful or interesting was the tools and frameworks that are available to you. So we said, hey, let's do a podcast. Let's reach out to the members, see what they're interested in. I put out like four or five topics, and overwhelmingly, I think there was one person that voted for another topic, but even that person voted for this topic. It was introducing better habits or removing bad habits from your life, right? Mm-hmm. That seems to be, I think the other ones that I gave as options were, you know, some sort of motivation to do something big. How do I get started on that? One was my life purpose. Like, what is my life purpose? No one was really interested in that, which I was super surprised by.
Me
I thought
too,
that was going to be the one that everyone said, like, I'm trying to figure out what I'm here to do. And honestly, it probably is. And people were just maybe afraid to say that they're searching for their life purpose. I know that when you have a good job and you have the family and you're doing the things that you should be doing, that society told you should do, it's hard to admit that you haven't found your life purpose, you know, especially when you're my age and you're going into your 40s, 50s, whatever it would be. It's hard to say, dang, like, I'm not sure I know what I'm supposed to do here on this place. So we can maybe get into that. But the overwhelming one was good habits, bad habits. So let's just start with good habits. What are there easy techniques or tools that you think people can start thinking about, or maybe an example of someone you've worked with, something that they had a challenge with? I'll kind of leave it open to you on how you want to address it, but what do you think would be good for, like, this audience to take away on introducing better habits into
your life? There's so many things, and again, they're all little things that take
small.
A few minutes.
Yeah.
There is a guy that I'm working with right now, just kind of lost his motivation to do things. One of his biggest things, I told him, get a planner. You know, do the night before. Just do your next day. Don't worry about the rest of the week. Just take one step and plan out the things you need to do. Take that hour for yourself.
Right.
You know, read, exercise, meditate, whatever you need to do. So I think planning out your day and looking at those then and knowing that you accomplished something, it also increases your confidence level when you're done too. So, you know, that's a big thing with daily habits. Planning maybe your dinner, because then you eat healthier. You had talked earlier about a grateful, you know, being grateful for things. So I also write three things down every morning that I'm grateful for. And it could be this beautiful morning with the sunshine out. It could be that I exercised today. It could be my home, my health, whatever it is, you know. It doesn't have to be a big thing, but it really starts to make you appreciate what you do have.
So. Yeah, there's some planners or journals that have that kind of stuff built into them, right? So it'll be, you know, what are some of the habits you want to make sure you focus on today? What's a goal for today? What are the tasks that you want to make sure you complete today? What are the priority appointments that you have today? And then what are those things that you're grateful for? And just sitting down and writing them down, I think, is really important. I have tried everything in the world. So I've tried so many different ways of becoming more efficient or effective with my day by day. And a couple of things I'll just note for people that have had a little bit of an impact on me were, in corporate America, what I used to do or try to do as much as possible is block off like 30 minutes in the morning when I got to work from my calendar, meaning no one could schedule with me, or 30 minutes at night, right before I left the office. And the idea was that I would spend that 30 minutes at the end of the day just planning the next day, like really getting situated on, okay, because the problem with corporate America is that everyone's constantly being pulled into meetings, so they don't actually have time to do work ever. And there's a great piece that was written on this. It's called Maker versus Manager, where the makers are the creators, the people that are always supposed to be doing something. And then there's the managers that their job is to know what's going on. So they always have to be pulling the makers into meetings. And the makers are like, I can't keep being in all these meetings because I'm supposed to be making stuff, you know?
Right.
So I like the idea of just 30 minutes at the end of the day to say, what am I going to do tomorrow? Right. But what has helped me more than anything, and it's the simplest thing in the world, I probably have it here somewhere, I literally, on a piece of paper, just write my to-do list. And it's the craziest thing ever, right? So I keep a master to-do list of the things that I need to do over the next week, month, whatever. Yep. But daily, I write down the things that I'm going to do that day, and then I scratch them off when it's done.
It's fulfilling.
And I will tell you what, I'll actually go write stuff down that I already did just to cross it off.
Same.
Because I want to see it. Like all the stuff that I'm doing, right? And I'm like, sometimes I'm like, this is just a waste of time because I've already done this, but I'm spending time now writing it. But it's just so helpful just to have a simple piece of paper where I write stuff down and then I cross it off. And this is literally like printer paper that I just fold in half and I keep folding. Oh, you have yours.
I have mine too.
So there we go. We have our paper for the day, right? I think calendars and all that are really good. But for me, just to put, here's exactly what I'm going to do all day long. And then not be like, I try to avoid putting projects on there. Like if it's going to take me longer than like an hour to do and it's a project, I don't put that on there. I kind of carve out time for that somewhere else. But
I think it takes it off your brain too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you write it and you're like, okay, I know I need to do that. Yep. I've committed to it. Now I've written it down, but I'm not obsessively thinking about it every 10 minutes. So you're able to be more productive because of that. I find my sleep is better. If I plan my day prior and if I write down anything that's on my brain, I was waking up at 3-4 a.m. laying there for an hour like, oh, I need to do this. I need to do it. Yep. You know, so there's so many little positive things to do.
Yeah.
I think one of the big things in talking about the universe putting things into action is once we decide something, just make a decision, you know, whether it's going to be good or bad. It's you're going to get something, you know, you're going to progress one way or the other. And if it's not the right choice that you've made, then you know to change it. But you're no longer thinking about it. You're like, okay, I made the decision. Now, what step do I need to take next to get there, you know?
It's so hard. And I'm dealing with, I just did it this morning. There was these little things that go to something in this gym. I don't know what it is, but they've been here forever. And I'm like, dude, just make the decision. Get rid of these things. Because if you haven't found out what they go to yet, it's not. It doesn't matter.
Right.
And it's just the same thing with my mom's moving right now. And we were at her house and she's, you know, in the process of, well, this could go here and I really should sell this. And I still think I want to keep on. And I'm like, Mom, do you want me to make the decision for you? Because it's all going in the dumpster and you're going to just be done. Like, you stop worrying and the anxiety and all of this. And honestly, I did a big move recently and there was a lot of like getting rid of stuff that I had my whole life and it was hard. And I'll be honest, I have not thought about that house. I haven't thought about that stuff one time since that day and just getting it out of my, and now I'm like minimalist, right? Like I try to have, my mom's always like, do you want this? This will look nice on your, and I'm like, nope, nothing. I want nothing. I put pictures up that my daughter draws me. That's my living room art and that's it, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, those were some things for good habits, and I think that those are really good, just writing stuff down. I was trying to help someone, and I told her to do that, like just literally write down what you're going to do. I will mention, because I think this is powerful, I heard Matthew Mullenweg, he's the guy that like kind of took WordPress to be what it is today. I think it was him. He has this thing where like he doesn't do yearly like resolutions. He does them monthly. So he'll either say, you know, I'm going to try something or I'm going to, you know, try to do something new or I'm going to try to stop doing something. But I'm only going to try it for a short period of time and then I'm going to reflect and see how it goes, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that that's powerful. I try to do that too where, you know, like I actually told myself over the next couple of months, like you're going to wake up every day at 4 a.m., and you're going to get to the gym for the 5 a.m. class, and you're going to be here until 8 o'clock at night. And I leave, you know, here and there. But I said, like, you're going to show up, and we're going to see, like, what you can make this thing with all that time, you know. And I create my to-do list. But my habit now is, like, I'm going to try for the next couple of months just to see what the impact is to this business. If I show up every single day at 5 a.m., and I leave at 8 p.m., like what impact will that have, right? And then if it did nothing over those couple of months, then I'm probably going to start sleeping in a little bit. But I have a feeling that, you know, that new discipline and structure and habit will profoundly grow this gym into what I want it to be. And it's back to your, like, it's 100% on you, man. Like,
you keep doing the same things and getting the same results. It's you're not going to move. You're not going to create anything.
Exactly.
You know, and you're talking about doing monthly goals. There's something pretty cool also to do is create a breakthrough goal, is what I call it. And it's
that?
Something that you almost feel is untouchable. It's almost out of reach, you know. But what happens again is you start to do different actions to get you there.
Yep.
You know, and it might be a goal for a year, 3 years, 5 years, whatever. Yeah. But you eventually get there.
Yeah.
You know?
And it starts to, so I have this idea that I call proximity limitations. Basically, what it means is you only know what you're exposed to. So if you grew up 50 years ago and your dad was a farmer, you probably only knew farming, right? You didn't know what being an actor was,
right?
Or the world that, you know, something completely different. You only know what you're kind of exposed to. But we live in an era now where we can be exposed to a lot of things because we have it at our fingertips with our, you know, the technology. But just the ability to get out of your comfort zone and go do things and have different experiences. You know, we live in a world now where people are after life experiences. That's stuff that's like the Spartan races and the Tough Mudders and all that kind of stuff. It's fun because you're getting out of your comfort zone and you're doing something different. You're challenging yourself. But when you start doing that kind of stuff, it opens your mind up, right? It opens your world up. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing when it comes to goals and challenges. If you have it in your head that you're never able to do these things, you'll be stuck in that little box, that proximity box, right, forever. But as you start to progress and get out and do these things and the world starts to manifest and you start changing all of your activities, then you start to do things you never thought you could do. And I tell people all the time, like, I honestly did not think I would ever be able to run 50 miles straight until like the day that I went to run 50 miles straight. It was a couple of days before that I finally, something went off and I said, there's no way I'm not running 50 miles straight. And the cool thing is once you do it, now you know, like now there's something bigger that you can do, right?
And it creates confidence in yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I always say that hard shit becomes less hard as you do it.
Yeah.
So the thing that was impossible becomes less possible. But I like that breakthrough. So what's your breakthrough goal? I have to ask you. Do you have one?
Oh, boy. So I wrote mine during my training with Jack Canfield, and it was that I would be training other people, creating women's retreats.
Yeah.
I'd love to travel.
I like that.
Yeah, I'd love to travel and, you know, be able to go to the beach. Sedona is a big, huge thing. So I'm actually, believe it or not, for next year, creating my first woman's retreat.
Are you?
In Sedona. So it's a
Where's
wonderful
Sedona?
Place. It's in Arizona. It's
okay,
about 2 hours out of Scottsdale.
Nice.
It's just an amazing place. The energy, the vortex is there.
Yeah.
It's just, it's beautiful, just very serene, relaxing.
Yeah.
So it'd be based on kind of some of the things, the yoga, the meditation, the breath work, some one-on-one coaching, group coaching, and, you know, sometimes just to create a little community and be able to talk and be around like-minded people, like you were saying.
So the, where are you at on the breakthrough aspect of that? Does it still seem like that's something that's going to be really important, or like it's happening?
I'm starting to look, you know, at places and talking to other facilitators, because if there's something I don't need, you know, I don't know how to do, like sound bowl therapy or, you know, different things that I'm aware of, but I don't teach it.
No.
I'm these people are, you know, they're calling me. I have people saying, hey, call this girl or do this. So again, everything's in motion.
Amazing.
Yeah, but I mean, if you would have told me 2 years ago, that seemed impossible.
Oh, yeah.
Like, where do I even start?
Right.
And what the hell am I going to teach these people? I don't even have my certification. And, you know, part of me too, I kept procrastinating, which is a big thing. And procrastinating is just, you know, it's either fear or lack of education. It's one of the two.
Yeah.
And I think I had a little bit of both, because I was waiting for my coaching to be perfect.
Yeah.
And you're never going to be perfect. Never. You just have to take action and start doing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, now that, you know, it's in motion with these retreats and I see it finally coming together.
Yeah.
You know,
I think though, like for someone listening to this, because this used to be me, I used to be the person that would listen to these kind of things and be like, that sounds amazing. Like, I'm so happy for that person. They seem to have figured it out. And when I tried to put that into practice, I always came like full circle back to, well, where do I start? Like, how do I even? And so just to give some people some like next steps, like for me, it was small things, reading books, listening to podcasts, and then starting, you know, I started writing a little bit, doing the podcast, and it all, and like what I heard you say was, you're just planting these seeds, right? You don't necessarily know if all of those seeds are going to make the garden that you think it's going to make, but it's going to make a garden. It's going to produce something down the road.
Right.
And looking back, you start to see how all of those things connect in a way where you didn't think they were going to connect, right? So you went on your journey. You said, like, look, I want to get alcohol out of my life. So you do a program. That program leads to better habits. You start exercising, you start eating. Now you're in a bookstore. You're looking for something different. You read a book. You take a program. Then you're like, this program had an impact on my life. I'm a trainer. Now you're at a retreat. You're having an ayahuascan experience, right? You're coming back. You're coming to my gym. You're talking to me about your ayahuascan experience. I'm telling our members you're a transformation coach. They're giving us topics to talk about. Now you're on a podcast. Now we have a retreat planned. And just to give you some confidence, like I always said, like, I would love to do a sweat bar retreat, even if it's somewhere local and just have a couple nights. And it was funny because I always thought, like, who the hell is going to want to do that, you know? But I mentioned it to a couple, like, I think it was the Borings, Kirk Boring and Bethany Boring. I was talking about, like, this, there's a camp pretty close by, and I was thinking, like, we should just go to this camp for a weekend. And they're like, that would be amazing, you know? Camp Agape, it's in Hickory, and Erica, she's the marketing.
I know where Camp Agape is. Yeah. I pass it when I go to my riding lessons.
I never knew it was there. So this Erica, friend of mine, Erica D'Amico, I think, she's going to kill me if that's not her last name. But anyway, she's doing the marketing for this camp, and they don't really get a ton of exposure because, you know, it's just, it's hard to get out there on, like, how beautiful a facility it is. So I went out there, I finally checked it out, and I'm thinking about trail racing, and they have cabins, and you can actually do retreats there. So I'm like, this would be cool, you know? But then I start mentioning it to some of the members, and they're like, that would be amazing, you know? So just hearing you talk about going, I'm like, I want to go. I know it's a women's retreat, but I'm like, I want to go to that. You know, I don't, I'm sure Michelle will come up with an agenda and give me things to do, but it just sounds amazing to get away from the day to day and to have an experience and to go through these practices
and to work and to see on yourself. What happens. Yeah. You know, take that little bit of time for you.
Yeah.
You know, I have three children, they're grown now, but, you know, I always felt selfish in a sense, taking that time, whether it was to exercise or whatever, but you've got to rejuvenate yourself.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, taking that little bit of time is really good for your mental health.
So I have members that are honest about that. You know, when I ask them what their goal is it weight loss? Is it building lean muscle? Are you trying to get ready for the summer? Do you want long-term vitality? And they're like, look, dude, I'll just be honest, man. Like, I want to get away from my family for an hour. And I think it's great because people, I always said that I wanted to meet the unexpected needs of our customers, meaning, like, yes, people will come here to get fit, but what can they come here to do that they don't know that they're even coming to do? And it's those kind of things, right? Like, it's that hour of self-discovery, that hour of therapy, that hour of just working out, but being able to think through things. A lot of people, high-profile people, I've heard say that their form of meditation is just working out. Mm-hmm. It's that they're getting all of the, they're either getting the ideas and thinking through them, or they're kind of like, you know, monkey brain like you and I are, where they're like, they're able to put those things to the side, right?
Yeah, and take that hour and just kind of block everything else out.
Yep. And be you. And, you know, you talked about alcohol. That's what alcohol was for me. I've never had the problem where, like, I wanted to drink multiple days in a row. Mm-hmm. My problem is that they say that everything's okay in moderation. The problem is I don't do anything in moderation. Like, moderation is not even like a word that exists in my world. So I'm a very addictive person, but I look at it as a superpower, right? So in a couple forms. One is if I'm battling that desire, right? I'm strengthening my mind more than a lot of people are because I'm resisting something so powerful that a lot of people will never experience. So to me, that's mental toughness. And it's just using that as a way of building mental toughness. But the other reason I consider it a superpower is because it is sort of a good thing in your arsenal where you want to go hard on things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can use that if you... You know, I was talking to Brock about this, and he said, well, addicts, like, the really what we're talking about is you want more. It doesn't matter what it is. You just want more of it, and you want it all the time. You want a lot of it. So I just switched the focus to something else. But the reason that alcohol has had such a profound impact on me, I think, more than anything else, is that it turns everything off. Like all of the thoughts.
The good and the bad, though, Chad. I know.
Well, that's the reason that after all these years, I'm like much better at getting away from the nights of drinking. But you know, it shuts off the brain,
it
basically.
Does.
My family has always said, like, you never shut off your brain.
Yeah.
And
same.
Alcohol. Literally, like,
you can actually relax while you think it's doing you good. So
it's not. I've learned that over a lot of handcuffs and all the rest.
Yeah.
But literally, I would love to see what my brain does after like three beers, because I am the happiest person on the planet. Like, it just does something to me that mm-hmm. nothing else has ever done. And I just feel amazing.
Yeah.
To the point where nothing else matters. I just want to keep drinking. So my problem is not that I want to drink every day. It's if I go drinking, I better be like somewhere where I can get locked in a room, driven home. You know, like, it's just it's like an all or nothing kind of thing for me.
And you know, I think a big thing with me with the alcohol, and I might be a life coach, but I still struggle with stuff, you know? And I think it's the socialization and, you know, the good times and missing out, you know, hanging out with certain people and, like you said, relaxing. Yeah. But then I kind of have to look at, you know, the benefits to me quitting drinking versus the stuff I'm missing.
Yeah.
So that's a huge thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay, if I don't drink, a big thing is me being here, you know, getting up in the morning and working out. I'm going to miss my workout. I'm not going to sleep well. I'm not going to feel like doing anything.
Yeah.
I'm not going to eat well. So then in turn, then I start to feel guilty about things. And I start to feel like crap about myself, you know. And like you said, anything in moderation is great. If you're able to do that, that's okay.
Yeah.
But when it's, you know, negatively affecting, you know, your work, your life, your relationships, you really, again, that's when you need to be truthful with yourself.
Yeah.
And say, hey, you know, I can't blame this on my parents or my spouse, or, you know, I really need to create something different for myself if I want something different.
Yeah. My big tagline now is that, do you want to be a drunk or do you want to be an Iron Man? Because for me, it really is. People all the time are like, why can't you kind of be in the middle? And I'm like, well, there's no in the middle to me, because the going out and having a couple beers after work, that creates a life where ultimately I'm not going to do anything that really fulfills me. Or the opposite is, get away from all of that life. Like, don't go to the bar that night and have those beers, and mm-hmm. be prepared to train tomorrow. Because when you do the Ironman and you get that feeling, that sense of pride and accomplishment, those are the things that I'm striving for. Now, I want to feel that. I don't want to be on my deathbed saying I regret this or that.
Right.
Which is every, you know, if I look back and ultimately the experiences shape who you are. I don't, you know, necessarily regret everything that's happened when it came to alcohol. It's taught me a lot of things. There's mm-hmm. Silver linings. But if I look back and ask, could I have done a lot more that I should be proud of by now? The answer is yeah. Like, you really
wasted
some
time. Yeah, and I think we all do.
Yeah,
you know, and that's one thing that I took from my ayahuasca experience is, instead of me being so down and hard on myself, I was actually so thankful and grateful for all the crap that I'd went through.
Right.
Because it made me who I am.
Yeah.
You know? And before, like, you would hear somebody say that and you're thinking, what?
Yeah.
But it has a truth to it.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, now I'm able to teach someone else.
Yep.
You know, what I did and the different transformation, the different steps. And that's my fulfillment. That's my passion and purpose now.
And I love that, because for me, had I not done some of the things that I did and screwed up in the ways that I screwed up, I probably wouldn't have as much of a desire mm-hmm. to do better things now and to live a more rewarding life. And so it was kind of the 20s are what kind of started to create the desire to really do something now. But ultimately, it's put me on a trajectory that at the end of that, I'm going to look back and be proud, right? I'm going to be proud that I went through the shit. And then use that in a positive way to completely change my life. But before we kind of wrap up here, I want to talk on a topic that I think is important, because the idea of having a coach, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, I don't know if it's the ego or maybe just the ignorance, think that they are fine and they don't, you know, coaches are for people that are, you know, really screwed up in life or have done something bad and they're trying to figure out how to get out of it, or they're just super lethargic, unmotivated people. And I don't believe that that's true. Mm-hmm. I actually did a presentation in corporate America one time for like mid-level managers, and it was on the importance of mentoring and coaching. And it was funny because they all thought I was going to talk to them about their role as a mentor. Mm-hmm. And I was actually there to talk to them about their coach. Like, who are your coaches? The people that you are still getting coached by? Yeah. And they're like, well, wait a minute. I'm like mid-level manager, man. Like, I don't need a coach. And it's funny because in the corporate world specifically, I've worked with a lot of people that were, you know, they're at that vice president, senior vice president, executive level. And they spend a lot of time coaching down. Mm-hmm. The good ones are still, they still have a coach. It's so profound to hear the most successful people in the world mm-hmm. to this day still say, I have a coach. I have someone I call and talk to, and that gives yes. me guidance and that I bounce things off of. And so I have definitely those people in my life for sure.
I have a coach. I mean, yeah. I have several coaches. Yeah. I mean, yesterday I reached out to another Jack Canfield, you know, person, and we did a Zoom for an hour, hour and a half, something like that. You know, we kind of were helping each other.
So what was the, so going into that, was it just, you know, that there's going to be benefit that comes out of it, a conversation? Like for me, I know just having a podcast with you is going to be a beneficial thing for me. This is an experience that if not one person listens to this, I'm going to take a lot out of this and right. use it. Did you go into it like that, or was it like, hey, I have some things I'm trying to work on in my life, and I need to take a look at those?
Again, I think you're there for a reason. Something's going to come out of it. I mean, you know, we do catch up. His name's Glenn. We catch up probably two or three times a year now, but we always get something out of our conversation. Yeah. I mean, one of his things, he just got a new screen. He just got a new microphone, and I'm thinking, you know, if I want to progress here, these are the things I'm going to have to look into.
Yeah.
You know, he actually found something really cool. And another thing to do is take a whatever notebook or little cards, write down 100 things that you want to do in your lifetime.
Oh, wow.
And I've done this really cool thing when you cross off, you know, I went zip lining, which I did in Costa Rica. Nice. I jumped out of an airplane, and, you know, you go back and you look at these things. But he found his cards from the 1980s.
Wow.
And he's done all but 10 things on this list.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
What a confidence booster. Yeah. You know? So just, you know, getting different ideas, like kind of you said, like a mastermind, throwing out ideas. Or if I do have an issue, you know, with something, he would throw out some different suggestions.
Yeah.
So it helps you to grow.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, you think of the old saying, birds of a feather flock together.
Amen.
Right? Like if your people are the people that, and we talked about this, right? If you have nothing but negative people in your life, you're going to be a negative person. Mm-hmm. That book, Seeking Wisdom, talks a lot about that. Like your environment is, Magic Thing and Bake also talks about that. The people you surround yourself with day in and day out, that's another thing that we provide here as a gym, right? I'm not trying to plug it, but the culture of people that are all here trying to better themselves, that's a positive environment to be a part of, right?
Yeah.
So when you, especially the people that have nothing but the negative people, they might be listening and saying like, well, I don't even have the big thinking friends. I don't know where to start.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about the people like you, because imagine how powerful it's going to be when you get on the phone with someone like you and you start asking them important questions like, who are you? What do you want?
Like, and you know, I do that. Thinking. So what I generally do, which is a great thing, is I do a 30-minute free clarity call.
I was going to ask, like, how does this even work? Like, how do you get started with you? Like, what's the path forward? Is it a 30-minute discovery call?
Yeah, I do this clarity call because I think it's really important for us to connect, to see if we're even going to vibe together and be able to work together. Because if I'm not going to benefit you, I'm wasting both of our times. It's not worth it. So, you know, that's something I do. And sometimes I'll just break it down and say, what's one thing in your life that you want to change? Just one.
Yeah.
And start there. And, you know, what are you willing to do to make that happen? Are you willing to get coached on this? Because if you don't have intention and you don't have a little bit of vulnerability, you know, it might not work. You're not ready for it yet. You know, maybe you'll be ready 3 months from now.
Yeah.
So.
And you're kind of an angel in disguise. And I told you this the other day because I honestly have a hard time working with some people. You know, you have the frameworks and the tools that people that if you're like, I kind of use that in that example of the climbing the mountain. I love being around the people that want to climb the mountain. And then there are people that I'm okay saying like, okay, like let's do this, let's get you going. And as long as they're sort of willing to go, but the people that have nothing but excuses, you know, the excuses and the blame and the negativity, I mean, man, like they drown me. I get suffered. I'm actually a very introverted person. I found that I do super introverted in the aspect of introverted versus extroverted. Like when I'm in very social environments, it can drain me immensely. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm going out to dinner with a group of work people, I will get drained really, really, really fast. Now, people like you that are like-minded and we think a lot alike and we have a lot of the same interests, not so much the case, which is why I can spend all day here and not get too drained. But I'll tell you what, I'll get one member that will just be like, you know, I don't want to do this and I'm so unmotivated and like literally just one person of all the people that come in here and they're all happy and they're – so I get hesitant when I'm working with certain people because – for my own self, you know, I'm like, I don't know if I can even do this without breaking myself, you know, and people like you are angels because you have the tools and the frameworks to help the people that I am not willing to work with. You know, at some point I'm just like, just do it. You know, and I'm not saying this person that I'm working with right now is this way, but it's funny because if they're listening, they're probably going to start like chuckling or get mad at me, but, they're having trouble doing something every day. And yesterday kind of said, I haven't done it. And I'm like, just go do it. I'm so sick of you telling me like,
about it.
Stop thinking. Don't even think about it. Just go do it. Okay, I'm going to do it. And I'm like, no, just go do it. Just do it right now. Stop texting me. Stop going on Facebook. Just go do it.
Well, you know, something I think that's really important to touch base on real quick is finding your why.
Yeah.
You know, like if you want to lose 50 pounds or whatever, you know, why do you want to do that? Do you want to be able to play with your kids more? Do you want to feel better? Do you want to look better? But and sometimes you can't look at 50 pounds. I think you and I talked about this the other day. Yeah. You know, look at like, hey, my first goal, break it down, is to lose 5 pounds and to make it to the gym 2 days a week or whatever. You know, it's hard to look at that whole staircase sometimes. And then it becomes overwhelming. And then you quit before you even start.
Yep.
So I think really just looking, what's the very next thing that I can do to improve my day today or my week, you know, versus looking at, oh, by next year, I want to be 50 pounds lighter.
Yep.
You know, it's overwhelming for anyone, I think.
And I heard Terry Crews say this. He said, you know, the people that have the why, you see it. Mm-hmm. You know, the person that lost 50 pounds can probably tell you the day that they decided, I'm going to lose 50 pounds, you know. And then they start putting those small things into motion.
Right.
But you really have to, you have to have that mental switch where it's just like you're going to do it and there's no other, you know, like there is no, it was me with the 50 miles. Finally, it switched and I said, there's no way I'm not doing this, you know. And I see those people with the fire in their eyes, but then I see the people that say they want this and they say they want that, but they don't really understand why. And so they never have that fire. They never have that true intention, right? And it's easy to say, I want $1 million and I want to look a certain way. But until you really have the why behind that, you're never going to have the fire in your eyes. You're never going to make that decision and actually put the things into place. So, you know, I think people's whys are sometimes... It's hard, right? Keep asking yourself why. There's a practice you can do where you ask yourself why, and then when you get the answer, you say why again. You just keep asking why, and you really get to the root of ask why 5 times, right?
That's part of my coaching. I'll say, so, you know, what's going on with you? And they'll give me, you know, an issue they're having. Okay, so what else?
Yeah.
And then they answer something else. Well, what else? And I keep asking that until, like you said, you get to the root of things, and then it's like they're starting to become a little vulnerable and breaking things down, you know?
It's funny. There's a have you seen the Tony Robbins, I'm Not Your Guru?
I have seen that. I've watched it twice, actually.
So it's really powerful because Date with Destiny, it's his live conference in Florida. They do it like once a year. It's like $6,000 to $10,000 ticket. He's never let cameras in. but this was the one time he let cameras in to show that he's not like this guru and motivational coach and that he really changes people's lives. And it's interesting because he does all this work like behind the scenes to really read people. He has you fill all these questionnaires.
And he lives it too. That's what I love about Tony Robbins is he actually does the things every day.
Every day. And it's actually insane. When he was on the Tim Ferriss podcast and he talked about his routine, his life. I mean, these seminars, he's walking a marathon. Mm-hmm. And what a lot of people don't know is that he uses language as a stimulator. So, like, he'll say the F word a lot, you know, in his but he's really trying to trigger emotions in with people. But that Netflix show is so interesting because it starts out with a suicidal person. And he talks about this all the time. He's never lost one person from suicide. Yeah. It might happen eventually, but he has people to follow up with them years later. But at one point, he actually asked the whole crowd, like, you know, raise your hand if you're suicidal. Mm-hmm. You know, statistically, there's going to be about 10 to 12 of you in the room. And then, sure enough, 10 to 12 people stand up. And he's working with this guy right off the bat. But I'll let people go watch the show because that part is really powerful. It gets, you're 2 seconds into the show and it's like shit.
And
like,
it's truth. I mean, right there, that's one thing I could say about coaching that I love is it's pure truth.
Yeah.
You know, you could talk to your brother, your friend, whatever, and they're going to kind of tell you what you want to hear, right? Where when you're coaching someone, it's like, you might not want to hear this, but this is what I'm seeing. And you know, obviously you don't say it in a rude way.
Yeah.
But it's the truth is the truth.
Well, that's what I was actually going to get to, because there's a part in that documentary where there's a pretty girl that stands up. He's, you know, he basically says, who's got some shit? Let's work through it, right? Mm-hmm. And this girl raises her hand and he calls on her and she stands up and he said, okay, like, what's going on? She's like, well, I can't get my diet right. And, you know, right away, he in the back of his mind's like, she's got some fucked up shit going on and she's thinking it's her diet, you know, like she's gonna, you know, she paid $6,000 to come here and tell me that she can't figure out how to eat right.
Yeah.
And so he starts asking more and more questions and digging and digging and digging, and he finally gets to the point where she has a super broken relationship with her dad. He was a former addict or alcoholic. Mm-hmm. She has tons of resentment towards him. She has hatred towards him because of, like, her mom and watching her mom struggle. And the mom stands up. By the time they're done, they're like, everyone's crying. She's on the phone with her dad, who she hasn't talked to in forever.
And she, you know, probably looks normal because she's a pretty girl. It looks like she has her shit together, So, yeah, underneath all that, there's something.
And it's so funny because they interview Tony behind the scenes. You know, like, he comes in the back room and they got the camera on him. He's like, yeah, I got this girl out there. You know, she's telling me that she can't figure out her diet. But I know that there's a deeper root did issue, and the girl honestly probably thought it was, you know, that's the thing that's really bothering her in life, and maybe that is bothering her, but that's not the shit she's there to see Tony Robbins about, right?
And like, that's buried stuff from years and years ago.
So what I think is profound about people like you and the work that you do is, one, you're a positive person, you're going to bring positive, you know, thoughts and ideas and change. Two, you're really committed to working with people to figure out, like, let's go uncover some shit, you know, like, you probably don't even know it's there, but let's figure out some time, you know, like, let's take some time and dig into this and uncover it. And honestly, like, maybe it's because I'm not trained in that. I mean, there's some things I can do with people. I can motivate people and I can hold them accountable, but I'm just a person that has a hard time, you know, going under the hood, you know, and I think it's amazing that you're doing that kind of work.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Keep doing it.
So maybe, you don't have
maybe
to.
Maybe you and I should have a call sometime and I can, like, really figure out. I mean, I've spent a lot of time, honestly, with other people, with myself, and some self-discovery, and it's a hard process, but I don't think you can really begin to even live your life or a rewarding life until you start dealing with the shit.
And it's a journey that I tell people that when I coach them, I'm like, listen, we're not going to do 4 sessions, 12 sessions.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, depending upon the person, obviously, and what they're working towards.
Yeah.
You know, it's this self-love stuff. It's a journey. It's a process. It's, you know, because you're going to have more shit coming down the pipe. So it's like you're going to have more issues that as you're making yourself better, you're going to have some holdbacks. You're going to have stuff, you know, that you got to get back up and do it again and don't give up.
Yeah, so for sure. So before we wrap up, I want to know if there's a book that is profound and has a huge impact on you that you would recommend. Maybe it's the one that you read from Jack. And where people can find you. So we'll start with the book.
Yeah, I've got to go. There's so many books, yeah. Well, there's two. I'm going to mention two. One of them is The Success Principles by Jack Canfield, a wonderful book.
Lost everyone when you said it was 500 pages, but it's easy read. Right?
Yeah, it took me with my training and doing it took me about a year to get through that book, you know. Yeah. But even if you just, you know, read a chapter a week, maybe break it down. And the other one that I loved, I read when I was in Sedona in May, and now it's become part of my coaching. So again, very ironic, but that's the way stuff works. It's Louise Hay, and I think I mentioned this to you. It's Heal Your Mind, Heal Your Body. Because a lot of these emotions that we get buried, we start to have physical symptoms, whether it's arthritis, different cancers.
They show up somewhere,
I mean, they're stored in there. So like I notice with my TMJ and my migraines, when I released all that shit that I was holding on to, you know, because it's got to go somewhere. And if you don't get it out and deal with it and heal, it's going to get buried somewhere. So those are probably the two. And as far as reaching me, I do have a website. It's michellelutzlifecoach.com.
One L.
That's one L. M-I-C-H-E-L-E-L-U-T-Z, life coach. So Michelle Lutz, life coach. But yeah, you can go on there, check it out. You can sign up for the free newsletter. Gives you lots of free weekly tips just to get yourself started.
Oh, that's awesome.
I do the clarity call if you have questions. And
when's the newsletter come out?
I do. They shoot out every Tuesday, actually.
Sweet.
Yeah, so I do it weekly.
Awesome.
Yeah.
On the topic of books and habits, since we talked about both of those, I'll just mention this for people because I heard someone say this and it drastically improved my life. If you're reading a book and it is not hitting you or you're not loving it, just put the book down.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of people, like, they feel like they have to finish the book. And when you do that over and over and over again, you get to a point where you don't even want to read. I've had so many books that, even books that actually have been pretty profound, but then they'll get dry on me. And I'm like, okay, I think I took away what I needed out of that book and I'll put it down and I'm on to the next one. I actually am reading like six books at a time because to me it's like a television show.
Something interesting, things that I've read and I've went back and reread, there's parts of it that you miss.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and it's
for
because
sure.
you weren't ready for it yet.
Yep.
You weren't ready to hear it. You know, you were maybe thinking of the first sentence where there's something in the middle that you didn't even – it's like, didn't I read this?
Yeah.
You know?
100%. Yeah. My all-time – it's kind of like my life Bible, I call it, outside of the real Bible. It's called Tribe of Mentors by Tim Ferriss. Tim Ferriss was the podcast I started listening to years ago that sort of – got me down the path and really started to change my life. His book, Tribe of Mentors, is super simple. He sent out the same questions, like 12 questions, to over 300 people, and like 200 of them answered and sent back the answers. And it's, you know, they're very well-articulated questions, like what is a failure that you have had that has had a monumental impact on your life or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And so all the answers are really insightful. They're all from like people of all walks of life, highly successful in different areas, you know, firefighters to WWE stars to actors to CEOs, right? So at the beginning of the book, he says, you know, you might want to read this multiple times over your life because there's going to be things that you don't even. So I gift the book to people, and, you know, as people like will send me stuff that is hitting them, I'll go back and I'll find that there's things that, like, I take notes on everything, right? So there's things that I'm like, oh, I'm interested. Did I take, like, did I star that section of the book?
Right.
And I'll go back and I'll, you know, there's times where I'll see that I totally missed it. It didn't have any impact on me at all. But now it's like I'm at a different point in life, and I'm like, wow, that, like, I read it differently almost, or it's you know, important to me. So anyway, that's awesome. So they can reach out to you.
Absolutely.
So the website, you can sign up to the newsletter there.
On the website, yes.
Okay. And then people can get in touch with you through that and schedule their free consultation if they like. And then you and I are going to do some work on maybe getting a seminar going at some point here for some of the members or you know, just bringing people in, I think, to cover some cool topics like this would be fun.
Yeah, for
sure.
Should
do like a live podcast. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. Sorry I threw you off with the first question, but I had to talk about the experience.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it.
I loved it.
I'm grateful for you today.
It was so awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Michelle. All right, let's wrap up. Thanks.